Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. As marvelous as this account is, it doesn't end there, for the Lord goes on to tell Peter that he had been blessed to receive such a revelation from God the Father, and further, upon the rock of this revelation, the church would be built. This is truly one of the great passages in all of Scripture, and the Apostle Paul refers back to this monumental revelation in Ephesians 2, where the building of the church is the focus and the theme. Bob Danker has joined us today for some, I think, crucial fellowship, Bob, on this matter. Don't you agree?
I certainly agree, Chris. This matter of the building of the church is something that is really in the heart of God and is central to God's economy. And I'm very happy to be with you on this program as we get into this matter in a deeper way so that we can all see what is the building of the church.
Since it's in the heart of God, Bob, and such a crucial matter, I think that maybe explains why over the centuries, and maybe we could talk about this for a moment before we join Witness Lee, why over the centuries it has come under such, I would say, direct attack by God's enemy. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of misunderstanding. There's a lot of misapplication to these very clear words, isn't there?
There is, Chris. I think in particular there's a lot of misunderstanding as to when the building of the church should take place. Will it take place sometime in the future after the Lord comes back?
Mm-hmm.
Or should it take place today? Well, I think according to the revelation of the Scriptures, we all have to admit it should be taking place today. And then, on the other hand, what is this building,
right,
really?
That's
is
right.
It just some kind of relationship that we build up with one another by being together for a long period of time? Or what is the reality of this building? And I think in this broadcast, we're going to see something related to this matter.
And even this matter of the rock, of the revelation, and what this rock referred to, of course, that's been applied in a number of ways. I think that today's message, because when we see today's message, it really begins to connect a lot of different parts of Scripture in a marvelous way where the picture gets much more clear. And so the misunderstanding over the centuries about this rock, I think, is really helped by what we're about to embark on today, don't you think?
I absolutely agree, Chris. You're right. This matter of the rock on which the church is built has been a huge contention or misunderstanding over many centuries and has been applied in a certain way by a certain segment of the Christianity. So for us to have a clear understanding of what is the rock on which the church is built is a great thing.
Okay, let's look at Paul's words now in Ephesians 2. I'm going to read chapter 2, verse 20, 21, and 22, and then refer to a passage that's in chapter 3. All of this, as I said before, come into play today in Witness Lee's sharing and in the fellowship we'll have in a few minutes. Okay, here are these verses. Being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom all the building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in spirit. Marvelous verses here. These are just tremendous. I think that before this life study of Ephesians is through, we'll have a good number of programs that touch these verses, won't we, Bob?
We will, Chris, and we really need to have this portion of the Word opened up to us.
And then in chapter 3, Paul goes on talking about a revelation which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in spirit, that in Christ Jesus the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise through the gospel. Okay, let's join Witness Lee for some marvelous and crucial fellowship.
When we come to the end of chapter 2, what is here? Just the building. The building revealed here is in two aspects. One, the universal aspect, and the other, the local aspect. Universally, the church is uniquely one. And locally, in certain locality, the church is also locally one. Here, the first point is the matter of foundation. Verse 20 says, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. These puzzles most of the students of the Bible, because 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11 says, the unique foundation laid is Christ. See, no other foundation could be laid than Christ. But why here you have the foundation of the apostles and prophets? Listen, this doesn't mean the apostles and the prophets are the foundation. They are not the foundation. The foundation of the apostles and prophets is just the revelation. The revelation the apostles and prophets received of the Lord. The church is built upon the revelation given to the apostles and prophets. And this thought corresponds with the word spoken by the Lord Jesus in Matthew 16. You know, in Matthew 16, Peter received the revelation concerning Christ. Then the Lord said, I will build my church upon this rock. And this rock there, if you read carefully, refers not only to the person of Christ, but also the revelation of Christ. That revelation is the foundation upon which Christ built his church. So here in Ephesians, the concept is the same. In this revelation, what is revealed? Number one, Christ. Number two, the church. The revelation received by the apostles and prophets is composed with Christ and the church.
Bob, there is so much in these two verses that we've just touched. I don't really want to even try to limit it with one question. I'm just going to basically hand it to you and say fellowship on these crucial points. We've had the revelation of Christ in the church, the universal and local aspect, and just exactly what this foundation is. All of these are worthy of our time, aren't they?
They are, Chris. It is very crucial that we see here that Paul mentions the building in two aspects. He says, all the building is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. This is clearly the universal aspect of the building, the one church universally, which is God's building universally. Then in the next verse he says, you also, speaking to the Ephesians directly, you also, Ephesians, are being built together into a dwelling place of God in spirit. So the Ephesians represent the local aspect of the building. Both the universal aspect and the local aspect are uniquely one. God does not have two buildings. He has only one building in the universe. And now the question of the foundation. Brother Lee pointed out clearly, the foundation is not the persons of the apostles and the prophets themselves. The foundation of the church, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, is Christ. There is no other foundation that can be laid but Christ. But this Christ, in order to be the foundation, must be revealed to the believers. And this is the ministry of the apostles and the prophets, to bring to us the divine revelation concerning two great mysteries in this universe. The first mystery is Christ himself, who is the mystery of God in Colossians chapter 2, verse 2.
Right.
The second great mystery, which goes along with this first mystery, is the church. And this we'll see in the next chapter, Ephesians chapter 3, the church as the mystery of Christ.
Mm.
So here we have two items which together compose a great mystery. This mystery should be unveiled to all the believers. And this is the ministry of the apostles and the prophets. In their ministry, in their writings, in the New Testament and the Old Testament, what do we see revealed to us in all these writings? Just Christ in his person and his work and the church, which is the issue, the enlargement, the expansion, the increase of this all-inclusive Christ. And this is the revelation that the apostles and prophets bring to us. And on this revelation, the church is built. It cannot be built on any other foundation except the revelation brought to us by the apostles and the prophets. So the persons of the apostles and prophets themselves are not the foundation, right, but the revelation that they received from the Lord.
Bob, we're really addressing the universal question, what is God's purpose? What is the purpose of my existence? Why is there a universe? All of these things come into play in the words that Paul is bringing out in these chapters in Ephesians. This is the eternal plan, the eternal purpose of God. And at the very center is this matter of Christ and the church. And so I feel like we almost need to forget everything we think we know about the church, because it has been so confused over the centuries, and come to this portion of the word in a fresh way and really let the Lord's light pour in, shine in to reveal what is at the heart of his eternal plan.
That's right, Chris. The revelation of the apostles and prophets is basically God's eternal economy, which is to build himself in Christ into the very being of his believers. This is God's building. It's God and man builded together, blended together, even mingled together to be one entity. And this is the central revelation of the entire scriptures.
Incorporated into this revelation, the last phrase in chapter 2, verse 20, is this matter of Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. We see actually in the Old Testament reference in Isaiah, which will come up in this coming section, chapter 28, verse 16, it says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord Jehovah, indeed I lay a stone in Zion as a foundation, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone as a foundation firmly established." This cornerstone is an important and critical part of this building that God is engaged in. Let's join Witness Lee for this fellowship.
Then, end of the point. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, Christ is a unique foundation. And in Isaiah 26, it also says, Christ is the foundation stone. But here it says, Christ is the cornerstone. Again, you must find out why. Because Ephesians 2 deals with Christ as the cornerstone joining two walls together. One main wall is the wall of the Gentiles, and the other is the wall of the Jews. Two main walls, without the cornerstone, these two main walls could not be joined into one. Even Matthew 21, the Lord Jesus indicated to the Pharisees after his resurrection, he will join the Gentiles to the Jews. Then on the day of Pentecost, when the Apostle Peter was preaching gospel, he said, Jesus of Nazareth, he, being rejected by you, became cornerstone. To connect the Gentiles together with the Jews. If this cornerstone, whosoever calls on his name, shall be saved. By that you can see salvation implies building. I say, Gentile, you got saved. God's intention is not to bring you to heavens. God's intention in his salvation is to join you to the Jews. And Jewish brothers, God's intention in his salvation is to bring you to the Gentiles. You say, I don't like those Gentile pigs. But God says, I like them. Today, the unbelieving Jews, they don't like Jesus. Why? Jesus joined the Gentile pigs to them. So Christ here is not the foundation, but the joining cornerstone.
Bob, we really need to focus in here on what's being presented. This is tremendous because he referred to Acts when Peter stands and preaches the gospel. This matter of the building being joined together in the cornerstone is a part of the initial presentation of the gospel, isn't it?
That's right, Chris. This means that to be saved is not just to be rescued from eternal damnation. To be saved is to become a part of God's building. To be saved is to be joined with all of God's chosen people, including Jews and the Gentiles, to be one building. And this, I believe, is the concept that Paul is trying to present to us in the second half of Ephesians 2. Here he says that in Christ, the Jews and the Gentiles were created together to be one new man.
Right.
They all were reconciled to God in one body.
Right.
Both the Jews and the Gentiles have access to the Father in one spirit.
Right.
Through the Son. And now they all are citizens together of God's kingdom.
And members of the household.
And members of God's household.
Yeah.
And now at the end of the chapter, we come to this matter of Christ being the cornerstone for God's building. This means that this Christ who saves us, he saves us by joining us in himself to one another, to all the believers, to be one building, one temple, one dwelling place, one new man, one body, one kingdom, one family. You know, this is a tremendous thing to see this, and this is in God's heart. God's heart is to have all his people to be one. And this can be only in Christ as the cornerstone. He is the unique one who can join all God's people to make them one unique building.
So we have Paul's referring to Christ as the cornerstone here in Ephesians 2. The Lord Jesus in Matthew referred to himself as the cornerstone. Isaiah prophesied that he would be the cornerstone. And in Acts 4, when Peter stands up in verse 11 and 12, it says, "This stone, which was considered as nothing by you, the builders, which has become the head of the corner, and there is salvation in no other. For neither is there another name under heaven given among men in which we must be saved." I think the context of this last phrase has been missed almost entirely by Christians over the centuries, hasn't it, Bob?
That's right, Chris, because in saying that there is no other name in which we can be saved, Peter joins salvation to God's building, because in the previous verse he says that Christ is the cornerstone.
Well, we have one more segment ahead, and it maintains its level of light and the divine speaking to us, so let's join Witness Lee.
One more point. The church as the house of God is living, full of life. So the church grows. The growing of the church is the building. Verse 21, "In whom all the building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord." The church today is growing. Not growing in our natural life. You have to realize, the church today is growing in the spiritual life. In the divine life, the church is growing, growing into a holy temple. And this is the building prophesied by the Lord Jesus in Matthew 16. "Upon this rock, I will build my church." And this building in Matthew 16 is exactly the building in Ephesians 2:21. We have to see the two aspects of the building. All the building is growing. This is on the universal side. Now you are also being built. And this is on the local side. In between, you have the word also. Also. The whole church universally is growing, and you, the local saints, are also being built. Concerning the universal aspect, Paul uses a holy temple. And concerning the local building, Paul uses a different term, a dwelling place of God. Could you tell me what is the difference between the holy temple and the dwelling place of God? The temple is the place for God's people to worship Him, to contact Him, to take His oracle. The dwelling place is a place for resting. God is resting in His dwelling place. These are not two places. These are two aspects of one building. All the local churches are part of the universal church. So the building of the local church is just the building of the universal church. In the whole universe, there's only one building.
Well, once again, Bob, the only word I have is marvelous. The verses say, 21 and 22, that the building is growing first into a holy temple in the Lord, and in whom also you are being built together into a dwelling place of God in spirit. Both aspects here, aren't there?
That's right. This matter of building equaling growing, this is a tremendous revelation. What is the building of the church? Well, this verse tells us clearly, the building up of the church to become a holy temple in the Lord is by the growth of the divine life in the believers. This life we all received when we believed in the Lord. And this life is Christ Himself who entered into every believer to be the eternal life within them. Now, by the growth of this divine eternal life, the building of God is completed. And at the maturity of this life, then the building is fully finished. So we all need to grow in the divine life unto the maturity of that life. This is revealed again when we get to chapter 4. We'll see this matter even more emphasized.
Right.
That the real building of the believers is by the growth of the divine life within them. This is a tremendous, crucial revelation that we all need to see and pay attention to this.
So when we talk about the church growing here, we're not talking just simply about a church that's expanding in its numbers.
That's not the concept here, I don't believe. Although the church does need to expand in numbers, the church mainly for the purpose of building, the church mainly needs to grow in the divine life. This is a living building, a building in and by the divine life that all believers possess.
Now, and we've got about a minute left, Bob. What about the local aspect?
Well, it's very clear here, Chris, that the building of God has two aspects, the universal aspect and the local aspect, and they are related to one another. If we are going to be built up into the universal church, we need to be built up with believers locally.
For Bob Danker today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.